going to tell you why I observe the Day of Atonement. First of all, it's one of the feasts of the Lord. You know, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, it says these are the feasts of the Lord. And specifically down in verse 26, it says on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord, to the Eternal. Okay, so every church has to have, you know, festivals, some form. You know, a lot of churches, they call themselves Christian churches, but what they've done is they've adopted pagan holidays like the word Easter. Easter is the name of a Teutonic goddess of spring where they celebrated sex rites and maybe have even in that time past sacrificed children. It's why did they get that to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus? Did you ever imagine why they called it Easter? They don't call it the resurrection, they call it Easter. And named after Ishtar from Egypt. The other reason is that there is more written about the Day of Atonement in the New Testament than any of the other festivals of the Lord. More written about this day. More comments about this day. And the other reason is that Jesus and the apostles observed this day. They were Jews. It was in their time. The whole church started off. It was, I want to be a first century Christian where the faith was delivered to the people who came into the church. The Apostle Paul took it to them as well. It was observed by Jesus and the apostles. Jesus said it this way, I have kept my Father's commandments. You'll see that in John 15 and verse 10. Jesus didn't throw these commandments out. Is it wrong to follow Jesus? Am I going to get in trouble if I follow what Jesus did? Spiritually, how bad off am I going to be if I do what Jesus did? The other thing, it shows the great importance. This day shows the great importance of the sacrifice of Christ as pictured in the sacrifices of the Old Testament. All sacrifices of the Old Testament picture Christ. And it shows the futility of animal sacrifices and the effectiveness of Jesus' sacrifice. You will appreciate what Jesus did for us. It shows then that before Christ entered into heaven to be our high priest, we had no access to the Father and to the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ is our high priest. To understand this day, you had to understand the goings-on of this day. And this day was a complete rest. You'll see it in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 32. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest. You shall humble your souls in the ninth day at even, even to the tenth day at even. Now, you see it, another scripture. Once a year, they had to go in to the Holy of Holies. Now, let me describe the Old Testament theology, okay, if you want to say it that way. The Old Testament theology was built around the temple, okay? Was built around the temple. The temple was built, and at one time it was just a tent. The tent was 30 feet long, and it was 45 feet long. 45 feet long. The first 30 feet were the place that any priest could go in. The last 15 feet was a 15 feet square. It was 15 by 15. So it was 45 feet long, 15 feet wide. Solomon, when he made the temple, doubled those dimensions. Doubled them. Okay? And the last part was a total square room, 15 by 15. Later on, it became 30 by 30. And only the high priest could go into that room once a year. Nobody else could go into the temple unless you were a priest. Even if you were of the tribe of Levi, but you weren't a priest from the lineage of Aaron, you could not go into that, even that first part of the temple. Okay? Now, in the time of Jesus, and they had the great temple built by Herod. Now, the Solomon's temple was destroyed on the ninth day of Ab, somewhere in the month of August, and it was completely wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar, and you know, and it was burned under Antiochus Epiphanes and so on. It was just destroyed, okay? It wasn't wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar. Well, they had to rebuild a lot, you know, and they came back. Then in Herod's time, he built the great temple. And he was a big builder, Herod, King Herod the First. Crazy as a lunatic, but he was a big builder. And he built the temple, which was the one in Jesus' day. And sacrifices were made there. The Day of Atonement was done there. The high priest went into that temple once a year, into the Holy of Holies. That's how it was. So you see it here in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 10. And Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. He shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering of atonement once a year throughout your generations. It's most holy to the eternal. In the book of Hebrews, we read in chapter 9, I'll drop down to verse 7, but into the second. So the first part, you entered from the east side, you faced west and you walked west. The first part you walked in, that was for the priests. Into the second part, which was covered by big curtains, opaque curtains. They could waft incense into that curtain toward the Ark of the Covenant. The two cherubim were there. Figuratively, now this is all figurative. You understand God is in heaven. He's not here. But he was, figuratively, God sat on that Ark of the Covenant throne between the two cherubim. So into the second, only the high priest once a year could enter, you see. He entered once a year, not without blood, not without taking blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people that were committed in ignorance. Okay? So it was a total high priest day, total. He came, he did his thing. He had, it was considered a permanent statute, if you read the book of Leviticus. And they had to do this every year, once a year, on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is today. Now, most Jews would be fasting today if they observe it. You know, again, just like most modern people, most of us today, they would not fast if they had, you know, medical problems and things like that. It would just be hurtful. So into the temple, here's what we read. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 18. He shall go out into the altar that is before the eternal and make atonement for it, and shall take the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and shall put it on the horns of the altar round about. Now, they had an altar of burnt offering on the outside. That had to be cleansed. The word today, it's called in the Hebrew Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, we call it. But Yom Kippur really meant, Yom is the day, and Kippur means a covering. A covering. The day of covering. The day of reconciliation, the day of covering your sins, okay? Now, this is what they had to do in Old Testament times to cover sins. If you see in the book of Leviticus, from verses 29 to 34, I'll read that. This shall be a permanent statute for you. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether native or whether an alien who sojourns among you. Everybody in the nation of Israel had to observe it then. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the eternal. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Now, chapter 16, and dropping down to verse 32. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as the priest in his father's place, you had to inherit the priesthood, shall make atonement. He shall thus put on the linen garments and the holy garments. He shall make atonement in the holy sanctuary. He shall make atonement for the tent of meeting. He shall make atonement for the altar. He shall make atonement for the priests and for the people of the assembly. Now you shall have this as a permanent statute to make atonement for the sons of Israel for all their sins once every year. And just as the Eternal had commanded Moses, so he did. So Moses was commanded to do it, and Moses told Aaron, and Aaron was the priesthood that year. What would I see if I were an Israelite back in that time? What would I see? Okay, let me show you. It's mostly in the book of Leviticus chapter 16. And from verses 3 to 5, it tells what the ceremony is. Aaron shall enter the holy place with a bull for an offering, a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. So Aaron was the high priest. This is a high priest day. This is all the things that the high priest had to do. He shall put on the holy linen tunic and the linen undergarments. In other words, the lower garments, it means. He shall he be next to his body. These have to be right against your body. He shall be girded with the linen sash and attired with the linen turban. These are the holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. So he has to be completely clean physically. He washes and he puts these things on for a ceremony. So he does four things after this. He has, in verse 6, he has to take a bullock. Aaron shall offer a bull, or a bullock, young bull, for the sin offering, which is for himself. Now, he doesn't go in because he is sinful. He has one for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his own family, his own household. That's the first thing he does. You see it? You'll see in verse 11 he does. And Aaron shall offer the bull for a sin offering. This is chapter 16, verse 11, which is for himself, and he shall make atonement for himself and for his household, and he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. I want to tell you something. Slaughtering a bull is not an easy thing to do. It's not like you push a button. You have to kill a bull and slaughter it, drain its blood. Well, that's a lot of work. He was working all day long today to get this done. Okay, in verse 14, moreover, he shall take some of the blood for the bull. After he takes the blood, he has to take the blood in the basin. He has to sprinkle the blood with his finger on the mercy seat. Now, he has to go in for himself now. Sprinkle this blood on the mercy seat. You'll see it in verse 14. With his finger on the mercy seat, on the east side also, on the front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Now, yes, he's on the east side because he's approaching and going west. So here's the altar. The mercy seat is where God figuratively sat. So he comes in. He's got this basin of blood, and he sprinkles this on the mercy seat. Now, another thing he has to do, you'll see it in here. He has to have incense. He's got to have incense burning and an incense burner to keep the smoke of the incense going, as he's not allowed to look directly at the mercy seat because God was supposed to be figuratively there. And he cannot look at it. If he doesn't have enough incense, the Bible says God would strike him dead, you know, so to speak. So all the people, he's my high priest, because ordinarily he's wearing this plaque on him, on his chest, with all the names of all the tribes. There's my tribe listed on there. And he's my high priest. He's going in for me. We are all humbling our souls, fasting in order to make sure that he comes out alive and that he does all this correctly. He has to have a ram for a burnt offering. You see it in verse 24. He has to have all these things. And in verse 27, what does he do? But the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be outside the camp, and they shall burn their hides. So you have to burn their hides. All these things have to be done. He has to also choose two goats. Two. They're identical. Okay, you saw them. They have to be without a blemish. No blemish, no marks. Perfect little animals, okay, two young goats. And he has to take one. He flips a coin, so to speak. He has flips the lots. And one of them has to be the goat that is sacrificed. The other one is the goat he releases. He releases it. Now, I know a lot of people used to interpret this as the released goat was Satan, and he's putting Satan away and all that. And the no. They are the same sacrifice. They are all for one sacrifice. This was done also with pigeons and other animals, where you had one here and one released. They had one where they had to kill the pigeon and then release the other one alive. The live one is going away for, in a sense, forever, because we never see it again. It's released and it goes into the wilderness, picturing our sins being taken away, okay? He carried us, he carried our names in his heart. You know, the Bible says, this is Exodus chapter 28 and verse 29, Aaron, when he went in, shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the eternal continually. He always goes in, when he goes into the temple, he always takes all of our names of the tribes. All the tribes. There's my name, and he goes. He's my high priest. Okay? He has to be one from among the brethren. He has to be taken from, he has to be an Israelite, so to speak, at that time. Now, Jesus did not come from the tribe of Judah. Did not. But we're told in the Hebrews he's a high priest because of the power of an eternal life. And he is our high priest today. You see, sins, all of our sins, kept us out of God's house. None of us can go in there. Our priest had to go in for us. We had no access. Now, here's the way it used to line up. If you had the temple, you had the court of men. Then you had the court of women further back. Then you had the court of the Gentiles even further back. That is, they were proselytes who had converted to Judaism, and some of them were not circumcised. They had to be further, even further back. Okay? Everybody had to stand back. Only priests and the high priest could ever go into the first part of the temple, and only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. It's called the Holy of Holies, which was that square, 15 by 15, later on 30 by 30. That's the only people who could go in. And the high priest could only go in once a year on this day. So, he enters Father's house to stand in Father's presence, so to speak, briefly, but long enough to cleanse us. He goes in and sprinkles that, and that is as close as we can get to the Father. Our high priest is representing us. We can't get to the Father. No way. This special sacrifice, by the way, on the Day of Atonement, was done in addition to all the other sacrifices. You know, regularly there were sin offerings. Regularly you could have a trespass offering. You didn't mean to do it. You just really accidentally did something. There were peace offerings, whole burnt offerings. There were thank offerings. There were wave offerings where they waved it, you know, the wave sheaf. And there were morning and evening sacrifices every single day of the year. morning and evening. They call the evening was what we would call late afternoon. Okay, morning and evening sacrifices every single day of the year. What the high priest did on this day, obviously, was not lasting, because the next day the priests were offering the morning and the evening sacrifices once again for the people of Israel. It wasn't effective. And the book of Hebrews points this out. In your New Testament, look at this and you'll see it. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, meaning the law about this day, the law in Leviticus chapter 16 and Leviticus 23 rather, that law about this day, okay, was only a shadow of the good things to come, not the very form of the things. You know, a shadow is a shadow. It's not the real. You can grab the shadow, but you can't touch it, you know. You can't grab it. It can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, it's once a year, every year, that could not make perfect those who draw near. When he means perfect, it means whole. It cannot make them complete. It cannot complete their forgiveness. It cannot wash their conscience. He says, otherwise, this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2, otherwise they would have ceased to be offered. If they could do it effectively, they wouldn't have been continuing every year. Because the worshipers, once having once been cleansed, would no longer have the consequences of sins. Or rather, I'm sorry, the consciousness. They wouldn't have consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder, a remembrance of sins year by year. And then he says in verse 4, Hebrews 10, verse 4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Plainly and simply. It was all form. It was all ceremony. It was all kind of a shadow of what was to come later. Now, when God says a reminder or a remembrance of sin, you know, in the scriptures, when God remembers something, he takes action. For instance, in the book of Acts, you see that God remembered Cornelius in chapter, in chapter 10. He remembered Cornelius' prayers came before God as a remembrance. And when he did, God sent Peter to him to talk to him, okay, about his conversion. In Psalm 137 and verse 7, it says, the Eternal, remember what the Edomites did on Jerusalem's dark day. Rip it down, all the way to its foundation, they yelled. Remember it, meaning God's going to remember it and punish them for what they did. In Hosea chapter 9 and verse 9, they have sunk deep into corruption all the days of Gibeah. He will remember their wrongdoing. He will repay them for their sins. So every year, there's this remembrance, a reminder of all their sins, which they had to go through all this ceremony, all this ceremony, all this ceremony, starting for the high priest all early in the morning, all the way through to the afternoon. Now, what is the Holy Spirit saying about this? Hebrews tells us what the Holy Spirit was saying. This is Hebrews chapter 9 now, verse 8. I'm going to begin in verse 8. The Holy Spirit was thus signifying during this day in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was telling us that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed. while the outer tabernacle is still standing. It was never disclosed. You could never get into it. You had to stay away from it, which is a symbol for the present time. Now, during the time the book of Hebrews was written, there was a temple there. It was Aaron. It was the temple from Herod. Herod built it. There was a temple there. And that's what it was. It was for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts, I'm reading now from Hebrews chapter 9, accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect or whole, complete in conscience, since they relate only to food and drink and to various washings and regulations for the body imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Now, verse 11, but when Christ appeared as a high priest. Who's our high priest today? Jesus Christ. He's a high priest of good things to come. He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, the great tabernacle in heaven, not made with hands. Now, that's a spiritual one. That is to say, it's not of this creation. It is not. So you had a tabernacle on earth, which was really a form, and Moses was supposed to make it based on the tabernacle of God's tabernacle in heaven. And not through the blood of bulls and goats, okay? Jesus did not enter through the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, that is for all time, having obtained eternal, everlasting redemption. He purchased us back. He purchased us away from sins. He purchased us from forgiveness, away from that, everlasting. All right, let me see. For if the blood, now verse 13, this is chapter 9, verse 13 of Hebrews, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for cleansing the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. Just like the goats were without blemish, the bull had to be without blemish, Jesus Christ was without blemish. That means he was sinless. Without blemish to God, how much will how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works, from all the bad things you did before, to serve. If you want to be converted, if you want to turn your life around, you come to God through Jesus Christ and he cleanses your conscience. He's our high priest today. He doesn't have to offer bulls and goats. He cleanses your conscience from dead works so that you can serve. Not a statue, not a thing, not a place, but to serve the living God. If you want to serve the living God, this is the way to do it. Repent of your sins. Be baptized as Jesus and die like Jesus did and be resurrected in symbol like Jesus did. In verse 25 now, dropping down Hebrews chapter 9, nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year. I mean, that's what they did. Every year the high priest had to do it again. He didn't have to do it every year with the blood that is not his own. He didn't, the high priest didn't cut himself. He killed the bullock, and then he had to offer the goats. Otherwise, if Jesus had to go every year, otherwise he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the consummation of the ages, at the end time, what is the end time? Hebrews tells us the end time started when Jesus Christ came. We are now in the end time. We've been in the end time for 2,000 years. The consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He didn't put away sin by killing a bullock, because Hebrews 10 told us the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And you know how bad sin is, because they had to go through all this. And inasmuch as it is appointed, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, but this time for salvation, without reference to sin. We're not talking about sin. We've already been forgiven. He's coming back now to grant us salvation, to change our bodies to be like unto his glorious body. To those, and he's coming for those who eagerly await him. Let's take a look at chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, because this is really gets down to what we call the new covenant. Okay? He's talking about God's will, and he says in chapter 10, dropping down to verse 10, by this will we have been sanctified. We've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, meaning once for all time. Didn't have to do it every year. He doesn't have to do it every day. His sacrifice was once and for all time. Then he talks about every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. You got to appreciate all the work that was done on the Day of Atonement in ancient times. You got to appreciate this high priest killing the bullock, killing the things, releasing the goats, sprinkling the blood here and there, and having the incense, all the work that he had to do. Because they had so many sins, and none of the ways to forgive them were effective. Every priest stands daily, this is Hebrews 10 and verse 11, stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But he, listen to this, verse 12, having offered one sacrifice for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward, and now a quote from Psalms, until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. So in verse 14, Hebrews 10, for by one offering he has perfected for all time. He's completed this. Perfected means he's completed for all time and perfected and cleansed our consciences for those who are sanctified, made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies for this, after this saying. Now he's going to quote the book of Jeremiah in chapter 31, verse 31, but it's quoted now from the book of Hebrews. This is the new covenant now. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Eternal. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. What did he do in the old time? You had to write it on the doorposts. You had to write it here. You had to keep remembering the laws, remember the laws, remember the laws. You had to write them, because they weren't written in your heart. They weren't written so you would do it because of being converted, because the Holy Spirit was in you. No. I will write them in their mind, I will write them. And verse 17, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hebrews 10, verse 17, a quote from Jeremiah 31. I will remember them no more. God has no more remembrance of our sins once you have repented of it and asked Christ's blood to cleanse you. No more remembrance of your sins. You are free. You are cleansed free. You are now free from sin. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. You see? I mean, Hebrews is telling us, well, if you've been forgiven, we don't keep offering. We don't offer today. We appreciate. We adore God. We thank God for his gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him to be the sacrifice for us all. And Hebrews is telling you that the new covenant says their sins will be remembered no more. That means it's totally effective once and for all time. And the goat that went away, you know, in the book of Psalms, God says, I'm going to put your sins away as far as east is from west. Just as far as you can go. As far as east is from west. If you had a linear thing and you went from east to west and you just go, you never see each other. Of course, we're living on a round globe, so I guess you come back around. But no, you never see each other. It's from east to west. Now, he says, where there's forgiveness, there's no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, now this is Hebrews talking to us, Paul writing here. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place. Can you imagine what he's saying? Can you imagine how that would shock first century Jews and Christians? We have confidence to enter the holy place not by the blood of bulls and goats, by the blood of Jesus. By a new and a living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, he's our high priest today, what should we do? What should you do today? Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith. What is that faith? You have to say, I believe my sins were cleansed. I believe that Jesus Christ's blood cleansed me once and for all time. I believe that I am now sanctified by that blood, and I can walk into God's presence. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You were washed when you were baptized. You don't have to be baptized every day. You don't have to be baptized but once. There is one baptism, one Lord, one Christ, one Spirit, one God and Father over all. And we approach God with this great assurance. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith. We are now able to enter God's house. Sin kept us away from God's house. And by nature, by our fallible human nature, by our troubles, by our problems, by our sins, by our evils, we couldn't approach it. But Romans tells us this. Let's read Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. For while we were still helpless, and we were, at the right time Christ died for us, Paul writes. He died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us after we were good. He died for us while we were sinners. You just found out about it after you started trying to repent and trying to do better. But he died for us while we were yet sinners. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, justified means made righteous, made just, justified. Glorified means made glorious. Vivified means made alive. Sanctified means made holy, sanctified. We are justified, made just or righteous by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more now, how much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Because the fact that he was resurrected, he came back alive. And not only this, but we exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is the day of reconciliation. But you have been reconciled every single day of your life if you've come to Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talks about this reconciliation. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ. A lot of people think when Jesus said, my God, he's quoting. Jesus was quoting this psalm, this quote, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting a psalm, Psalm 2, I believe. Why have you forsaken me? But God did not forsake him. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, if you're listening to this telecast or this streaming video, we beg you on behalf of Christ. We are now begging you on his behalf, because he's not here to talk to you in person. He sent his people. We are ambassadors for Christ. We beg you on Christ's behalf. Listen to what we're asking you to do. Be reconciled to God. Come to God, recognizing all that Jesus Christ has done for us, how he has taken away our sins with one sacrifice and for all time. You can now approach God. We are asking you, we're begging you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, a sin offering for us on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. But we have to be in Christ Jesus for us to become the righteousness of God. Outside of Jesus Christ, we cannot become God's righteousness. We beg you, be reconciled to God. This is the day for you. You could do it any day of the week, we know that. But since you're hearing this, if you're new, if you're first time, if you've never heard it before, come to God through Jesus Christ. And if you need to be baptized, let us know. We'll find someone who is a Christian, a godly person who can do the baptism. Be reconciled to God. We all are, and forever, if we have Jesus Christ in our life. Would you join me today as we give thanks and offer God prayer and thanks for all that he does for all of us all the time. Heavenly Father, the most holy God, you who dwell in eternal splendor and glory, sitting between the cherubim in heaven, a copy of what was on earth was like what you are sitting there, but you're sitting in reality. And we wouldn't dare approach you and come before you, except we come now in full confidence of faith because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. We don't come with bulls, we don't come with goats, we don't come with other things. We come now, Father, covered with the blood and the sprinkling of Jesus Christ's blood, who sprinkles our consciences clean from dead works so that we might serve you. We come before you to serve you. We come before you to ask your forgiveness. We come before you to be reconciled. We come before you for our brothers and sisters in Christ when we pray. Every time we pray, we come to the Holy of Holies. We thank you for Jesus Christ and what he has put in us, that your spirit is in us, and that you have forgiven us our sins forever, and that you remember them no more. We give you the praise and honor. We are free in Jesus Christ to come before your Holy of Holies. We just drop to our knees, or in a standing position, or in lying in our bed, or come before you as we picture you and come before you in our mind to give you glory and honor and thanks. Thank you, Father, for everything you've done. Help those who need your help. Be with your people. We know you'll hear our prayers. They come before your wonderful throne. They come like the incense that came through to the Holy of Holies. They come before you. The incense is the prayers of your saints. We give you praise and honor now. Thank you for everything. And we thank you that we are now reconciled to you through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. And he did it once and never has to do it again. In Jesus' name, we glorify you. Amen.